Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, praise God. I'm glad you've joined us today. Welcome for tuning in to Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Bob, and we're helping you turn your city upside down. And how are we doing that? We are giving you biblical strategy and motivation so you can get out there and do stuff for your King, King Jesus, that is. Hallelujah. Hey, I just want to welcome into the studio today, Pastor Christina Lowe.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm excited about today's broadcast. Yes. And like we were saying, we've been preparing for this for at least 15 minutes. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's going to be good today. And we're glad that you're tuned in to us. And hey, if this is the first time that you're watching, if it's the first time you're listening, I just want to let you know that you can find us on Podbean, iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Google Podcast, Pandora, Spotify, and they're all free apps. Just tune in to those. You can take us anywhere you want to go. You can listen at any time. And I can tell you that the word that's coming out of here today is good, and it's good all the time. Hallelujah. Well, Christina, I'm going to go ahead and tell them what we're going to preach on today or teach on or right. talk about, because we're not really preaching. We're going to have a conversation.
Yes. Yeah,
that's right. Okay, what we're going to talk on today is what is on the inside, bearing witness. That's the title of our program today. What is on the inside, bearing witness? And the other day, this doing this podcast was actually, it was a surprise to me, I guess 4 days ago when I was told we were doing it. And we had talked about it, and we said, well, let's sleep on it, let's pray about it, and see what the Holy Spirit has to say, yes. what we're going to talk on.
Because that's important.
Yeah, because we don't want to talk about what I want to talk about, because... No. Most people would find that boring.
You wow. know?
But
I don't know about that. But
well,
still.
Yeah, a lot of people would, though. Anyway, we had just communicated this, the podcast, what we were going to be, that we were going to be doing it. And my wife and I at the time were watching television, and we like watching these home improvement shows and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there was a program on, and it was about talking about flipping houses, where somebody goes in, buys a house, refurbishes it, turns around, sells it, and makes a profit. Well, just after I communicated with Christina, one of the ladies in the program, she said, before I rebuild, I want to see what's on the inside. And Holy Spirit just jumped all over me on that. And I text Christina back, and I told her, we need to talk about and give out our testimonies. Mm-hmm. What's on the inside? How did it get there? What's on the inside? And why we have to give it out? Because our testimonies are important.
Yes, yes, they are.
And so that's what we want to propose to you. You know, what's on the inside of you? What's on the inside of me? If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, it says clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. Now, Paul is telling us that we are a written letter. We're a letter, an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. That is where our testimony comes from. That is what our testimony is. It comes from the very inside. We are a letter. We are a living letter that goes out into our communities and reaches out to all the people out there. We are a letter of what Jesus Christ has done for us. That is our testimony. We are to bear witness. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 7, It says, this man came for a witness. Now, he's talking about John the Baptist. And he says, this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. John came to testify of Jesus. He didn't have Jesus on the inside of him like we can, but he was testifying of Jesus. In Hebrews 2:6, it says, but one testified in a certain place. Now, that was talking about the angels. It was talking about the angels testifying in that certain place. And that's angels. They get to testify about Jesus. Well, if John the Baptist does it and angels do it, shouldn't we be testifying of what Jesus has done for and in us? Let's move on. Let's look at Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 15. And it says, after the usual readings from the books of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it. That's what we're doing here today. We want to encourage you. We want to give you the encouragement that we have on the inside. We want to give you Jesus. And then I got one last scripture here before we get into things, and that's Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. That's what we're doing. There's been a message written on our hearts. Hearts of flesh, not hearts of stone. And we are going to run and to give that message correctly to a lost and dying world that does not know Jesus. Now, one of the things, Christina, that I have noticed over the years, and we got to remember that our testimony should not be directed at or about us, but it's at and about Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And I know that you have probably been in some of those meetings where someone will come up and they spent 30 years in prison and they give their testimony, and that's good. We want to know their condition beforehand and what Jesus did for them, mm-hmm. but they'll spend 45 minutes talking about how bad they lived and then only share mm-hmm. 5 minutes of Jesus.
Yes.
And that's not the right way to do it.
No, the testimonies and what he's done.
Right, right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our testimony, like I said, should not be directed so much at us coming to Jesus, but Jesus coming to us.
That's good.
Because he loved us first.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. It's not about how bad we were. It's about how good he is to us. More of Jesus, less of us.
I was just thinking of that scripture. That's good.
Well, go ahead and give it if you got it there.
I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
Do you have the reference?
No, I don't. I just thought of that and wrote it down as a quick note at the end.
I can look it up if you want.
Go for it. Look it up. Okay. Hallelujah. But that's what we want to encourage you with today. We want to encourage you with Jesus, not us. You could say that, you know, the things that have gone on in our life, the bait, we're just bait. We're just going to dangle ourselves out there, and then we want you to consume Jesus. We want you to take hold of him. We want you to experience him in your life that you can turn around and you can be that walking, breathing, living epistle that he wants you to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I found it. It is John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And then there's a little, I have it in the Amplified Classic. He must grow more prominent and I must grow less so.
Yes, yes. And I mean, you know, before we get saved, it's all about us. It's me. Hallelujah. Well, I guess that's not a hallelujah time, is it?
No.
But the revelation's coming. The revelation's mm-hmm. coming. I'm going to start off and I'm going to share a little bit of what I've was introduced to this week and about giving my testimony, and you're not going to hear everything because there's so much of it and so much of it that I can't even remember or won't even, haven't retained necessarily for this. But then Christina and I will go back and forth and we'll share what God has done in our lives. This week, when I was preparing for this, I sat down to read from Jonathan Cahn's book, The Book of Mysteries. And in one of the chapters there, it's called Heaven's Milk. And it really grabbed my attention. And he was talking about babies and that the word mom came from babies. It is, and in the book, he wrote different, pronunciations of mom, not necessarily in languages, because a baby doesn't know languages, but that baby will, ma, mama, mima, you know, it has these different sounds that it speaks. And that's where the word mom come from. It came from from babies. Well, what is one of the things that babies, right after they're born, no one has taught them, no one has trained them, no one has told them what to do, not that they would understand that, but they have an inborn need for milk. They start to desire milk. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the first things. In fact, almost all animals, when they are born, at least mammals, right after they're born, that is the first thing that they go for, is they go for that mother's milk.
Yes.
And that's what Jonathan was using here. He says, you know, as babies, we come in and we desire that milk. We desire that love. We desire that attention. And then as we grow up, we don't use that milk anymore. Mm-hmm. But we still desire that love. We still desire that attention. And inside of us, it becomes a longing for perfect love. And you may not be raised in a Christian home. You may not ever be around it. But there is that desire for that perfect love, a perfect love of a mother, a perfect love of a father. But we need even a greater perfection of love. And that comes through Jesus. Jonathan wrote, yes, and we long for the perfect love because there is a perfect love. We long for the eternal because the eternal exists, and the eternal put that longing in our hearts so that we would seek him and find him. When we do that, we are developing our testimony of Jesus in our lives. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go in. I'm going to start right off, and I'm going to. I was raised in California. I was born in California, and I moved to the Midwest, 1975, something like that. But in California, I was raised in a Catholic home, and we were good Catholics. We attended church. We had prayer times. And that's what I was raised in. I went to Catholic school all the way through high school. But I can remember as a child, I had been introduced to God in church, but I can remember probably about being about 4 years old and lying in my bed at night and having such a desire for God to communicate with him. And I would lay in my bed and cry and I just had that desire and that want for him. That's what Jonathan was talking about. I didn't understand it all. I knew he was there. I knew he was a comforter and he would bring me those things. But otherwise I didn't have religion at that point. I just had a relationship with God. Now, Christina, did you ever experience that in your young life, in the beginning? What was your upbringing like?
I was born into just kind of your basic non-believing home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My main experiences with church was like Christmas and Easter here and there, scattered through my upbringing. I was born into a family where my mom had been pretty abused growing up. So she made some decisions to make sure she didn't raise her kids that way.
Yeah.
So I was, my parents got divorced when I was young, 3 or 4. And I just remember always just mom. Mom was kind of the plumb line.
Right.
For a long time. But I remember growing up with a lot of fear. But that all changed when I was, I think I was 12, and my mom got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where there was a turning point in our family. Now, all hell broke loose because of the resistance.
Hallelujah. We want to see hell broken loose.
To what the changes that were coming. But that's where the turning point was in my specific family and then in my mother's family. Everybody was pretty upset about the changes that that wow. came in. But praise the Lord, you know, that's when I first got the first taste. I think I got saved within probably a year or so of her. That's when I got my first just real taste and of the Lord,
yeah.
of his love.
Well, you know, people or folks, you know, we all have different experiences. We all have different upbringings.
Yes.
And that is God wooing us into his mm-hmm. family. And we get to experience that now as a family. And I mean, she may have had a different childhood and upbringing sure. than me. And mine may have been more structured. And, you know, we it was developed around church and different things like that. Regardless of the denomination, there's other people out there just like me. There's mm-hmm. other people like her that maybe were even in a worse situation and whatnot.
For sure.
But the thing is God was wooing us all that time, yes. even when we didn't know about it.
I was going to say, even though maybe I didn't have the structure you grew up with, I knew there was a God.
Hallelujah.
I knew, and I even knew he loved me. I didn't really have somebody regularly talking to me about it, but I knew he loved me.
There was that divine comfort yes. coming into your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I know that some of you out there that are listening or watching, you have experienced the same thing. And you can't even put your finger on it. And as you know, I've got my little notes here, and I got them broke down to my young childhood and then my teen years. And that's what I'm going to share right now is my teen years. And as a teen, I was a normal, I would call it a normal kid. I used to tease people. I was a good kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was in my household, you were going to be good yes. or else.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, went through, graduated from grammar school, went into high school. Again, it was a Catholic high school. And they had all that structure there. We had what I'll call religion classes, but those classes, I took no interest in them. It was just something I had to do. But while it's being said, and you're going through church history and different things like that, it gets established in you. You get to know it, you get to hear it, and it sticks in your head a little bit. And then as I got older, you know, I was a normal teenage kid, I'll say. I was a good kid, but I did some bad things, you know. I mean, we tried to get away with different things that we could. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had my best friend in high school. We, since I lived out in California and I lived in Los Angeles, well, the good place to go hang out was Hollywood. And so we would, you know, get in our, you know, either my car or his car, and we'd go up to Hollywood and we'd just cruise around, you know, looking to see what's there. Maybe we were going to eat. Maybe we had a movie we were going to go see. But we would hang out and walk up and down Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Strip. And you know, there are some places there that as young men, we had no business being mm-hmm. near. And we couldn't get in anyway because we were young, but it wasn't that we didn't want to. But it was in one night there, we were going down Hollywood Boulevard, walking along, looking at the shops and whatnot. And two guys come up to us and they were all excited. And they said, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" And, you know, we both kind of said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, we do." And they said, they introduced themselves. They were from Jews for Jesus. And they started testifying. They started witnessing to us about Jesus Christ. And we laughed at them.
Oh.
We took their tracts. We crumbled them up. Mm-hmm. We threw them. And we say, we don't need you. We got our religion already.
Oh boy.
And that's what we had. We had religion. But that was God trying to get our attention. Mm-hmm. That was a loving father coming to us and saying, I want you. I want more of you. I need more of you. And after that had happened, you know, we hung out several more times. And it happened again later on. And it was actually when I was a little bit older and I had graduated high school. And I had decided at that point that I was going to study for the priesthood. And so we were in the seminary at that time. We were at another mall, and we were approached by another couple of people. And both that friend of mine and I, we both went to the seminary. And that witness, we did the same thing.
Oh, man.
And you know, I think back now, I could be ashamed of it, but I'm not.
No.
I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I have nothing to be ashamed of because I have Jesus mm-hmm. Christ in my life.
Well, you were ignorant as all.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it was in those experiences that after when I was in the seminary and then I had left the seminary to pursue a life outside of, I'll call it, God, and I had quit going to church. I was going to school. And one day I was working, and the Lord reminded me of a promise that I had made him. Mm-hmm. And I just dropped to my knees where I was in work, and I repented of my life at that point.
Wow.
And I said, oh, Lord, you've been pursuing me, and I have been ignoring you. And I started to follow through, seeking after him at that point. Mm. And that kind of takes me through my teen years. What about you?
I want to talk about mine, but I just want to say, how neat is it when you look back and you see where the Lord was wooing you?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but you just feel that love.
Yeah.
You recognize, like, wow, God.
And I can look back over my entire life, and mm-hmm. I can see that he's had his hand yes. on me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like, so many bad things could have happened
oh, yeah.
to me, and yeah. and they didn't. Let me see. What am I talking about? I'm talking about
moving into our teen years.
Teens going up into 20s.
Yeah.
So not long after I got saved, we got hooked up in a good church, Spirit-filled church, and I got hooked in a youth group. And I think that that's so good. I'm not saying everybody needs to be part of a youth group, but it was really good for me. It was just that good foundation. I mean, they were on fire. Just on fire, and got hooked up with them. And I think I was in there a couple years till I finished school. And then what's interesting, we moved around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you move, if you're not a super extroverted person, you might not make friends. I'm more extroverted now than I was before. But so I just kind of didn't have a lot of friends when we moved. And I kind of just, I would say more lukewarm. We still went to church, but more lukewarm. And it was in my early 20s when I'd gotten married, I'd had a baby, had a couple stepkids, and I came to the end of myself. And I recognized, oh my goodness, God, I need you. And I think up till that point, honestly, I'd kind of lived on mommy's faith. I was, you know, I mean, I was born again, spirit-filled, but I was just not really learning and seeking and work in that relationship with the Lord. And I hit that point where I realized I'm not going to be able to make it if I don't tap into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I started learning the word, getting hungry. I mean, it's like, you know, little bits and pieces, but I mean, I got in there and started learning it for myself. Not what mom said, the word said. I went and read it myself. And I had a great mom. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
But you
know, precious lady.
If you're not careful, you can ride on somebody's shirt tails.
Right.
And I think that's what I did till that point. And so I really just started getting in the word. And it wasn't real long after that, the Lord brought us to this church. And that was early 20s. I think I was like 23, 24.
Oh, that was just a couple of years ago.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. And
26, 27 now.
You know how it's so interesting how I would explain coming to this church was literally like coming out of a desert to an oasis.
Oh, praise God.
You know what I mean? Like you're thirsty, you're hungry. And not that I've had that experience, but what I could imagine. I've never been in the desert, but coming out of that desert, and it was like, oh, water. And it was like, and also the Lord like gave me this analogy right about that time of fresh bread. Mm. There's just something about fresh bread coming in the kitchen, that fresh, hot, homemade bread. It's the best thing ever.
Okay, you're making me hungry.
But that's what it was like coming here. It was like, I came home.
Wow, praise God. You know, folks, and we mentioned this before, that we have different experiences. Mm-hmm. And you look at Christina here, and she was not raised in a church type home. Yeah. I was. And one of the things that happened with me, not so much with her, I kept falling away. She was able to grab a hold of a better foundation than what I had, because I had grabbed a hold of religion. And of course you did too, to a degree.
Sure.
But, And it took me, and you know, a while, and into my adult years, I had gotten married, and we eventually moved here to Arkansas. And it was at work one day that I got witnessed to again. And that lady challenged me. She said, "If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell?" You know, and I go, "Excuse me?" And that started a conversation, but the conversation was more between me and God at that point. And I started getting into the Word. I started reading the Bible. It became that milk that I needed. It became that love that I needed. It kind of shocked my wife at that time, you know, and she says, "Hey, I see that's all fine and dandy for you. Don't expect me to be a part of it." And of course that changed in her life also. Praise God.
Yes.
But we all have to grow at a different pace. And in my adult years, you know, I mean, I began to incorporate the Word of God into my life. And that came when I came here to Grace City Church. And that first Sunday morning, I remember sitting downstairs, because at that time our sanctuary was in the basement, and they had our prayer time, and I was just shocked. I had never heard praying in tongues before, and it was my first experience. I had never seen hands being laid on someone and then being healed. I had never seen hands laid on someone and them hitting the floor because the presence of God was so strong. And those experiences that God kept wooing me with, bringing me in, slowly getting understanding, the Word opening up to me, this was God loving me. He had sent His Son Jesus. And in this time between high school and coming to Grace, I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. You know, those witnesses that I had laughed at before, if I could talk to them now, I'd have to tell them, the witness that you done worked.
Amen.
It worked. It did not fall on deaf ears. It may at that time. It may when I crumbled up that track and threw it on the ground.
But it planted a seed.
It planted a seed. You did what you were supposed to do. I'm going to see you in heaven, and I'm going to get to hug you. And all those people that spoke into my life. And you know what? It wasn't necessarily the people speaking into my life.
Yes.
It was Jesus speaking into my life. It was Him loving me in a way that I had never been loved before. Mm. And you know what, Christina? Mm. I look forward to the future, because if He loves me this much now, mm-hmm. how much more is He going to love me tomorrow?
So good.
And the next week, I'm going to have myself crying here.
Yeah, I know. It's okay to cry, Bob.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, especially if it's about the Lord.
Move on. What's happened after you got here? What has Jesus done when you came to the oasis?
I was trying to think of just kind of like, you know, you have those pivotal moments in your life. And I would say some of the things that really just shifted me was learning about healing. Up till that point, you know, our kids would get sick when all the other kids would get sick. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And I'm sure we weren't saying the right words.
Yeah.
And when we started getting a hold of praying over our children and speaking that healing and coming against that sickness, and it was like there was just a shift in our family. We weren't sick like we used to be.
Right.
We wouldn't get every sickness that came down the pike. You know what I mean? I'm not saying there wasn't little bits and pieces of stuff, but we started just walking in a level of health. And then I would also say, actually, I want to say that the tithing part was probably first before the healing.
Oh, okay.
But they were right in there.
Yeah.
But I think it's when we came here, we really got a hold of tithing. And why I mean that is, like, I don't think it was before we came. When we got a hold of it, and the Lord started making what we had work. Up till that point, we were just really struggling, and we'd borrow money, and we'd do this and do that. And what's that saying they say?
Steal from Paul to give to Peter.
Yeah. I was getting ready to say it really wrong.
Or Andrew. Start talking about Mary. Or Barabbas or whoever, you know.
But when we got a hold of that, and I think why I'm bringing those up is like all of a sudden, like, that light bulb just comes on. You go, the word works. Oh my goodness. What else is in there? You know, and also having other believers around you that are living a victorious life.
Yeah.
And going, what's different about them?
Yeah.
What are they doing that I'm not doing that will get me living that same life in so really good godly examples? That's a huge, huge help. Good examples of wives with their husbands, you know, the older women. I've really had that. I've had some really good older ladies that just were good wives, good moms, and I just watched what they did. And they would give me examples of, hey, when this happened, that happened. And I started coming out of some of that old person. And what I mean by that is, like, I don't even know how to put it, who I was raised under and with, and I started becoming the woman that God wanted me to be.
The woman that God wanted you to be.
Right. And that love started coming out, and I wasn't so angry anymore.
Yeah.
And frustrated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got a hold of the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I've always done it perfect, but there was a complete shift in my life. That love coming up and out, and you treat people better. You know what I mean? I was also going to say, you know, we got a hold of just, I know everybody that's around me has heard me talk about Brother Moore a bunch, Brother Keith Moore.
Yeah.
It's just such a resource.
Yes.
You know, Keith Moore, Bill Winston, Creflo Dollar, Jesse DePlanis, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle. There's some really good resources out there.
Well, that, you know, they say that Brother Moore, if you would listen to him and get his tapes or, well, CDs, whatever, that it's like going to a Bible school for free.
Yes, that's actually in my notes. It was literally like going to Bible school. And I had had a season of I cleaned for 10 years, and for the majority of those 10 years, I had Brother Moore and some other teachers, but Brother Moore going, and I was just learning and learning, and it's like I just grew up.
Yeah.
I grew up into what the Word says. And it literally was like a Bible school.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, as in my testimony, as I moved in here to Grace and got into the Word and learned more things, one of the things that the Lord does is He promotes you. Mm. And we don't look for that promotion. Trust me, I'm not a person that likes being in front of the camera. I had for years wanted to be behind the camera, but as He promotes you, and that comes through other pastors and teachers and whatnot, and they start to push you to the forefront. And that's where your witness starts to come out even more so. And that's how I'm here now. You know, God has promoted me and said, okay, you're going to be in front of the camera at this time. And so here I am. But a lot of those things, they came over time. Nothing happens overnight. But And I can, like we said, I can look back and I can see how the Lord has wooed me and moved me. Back in 2005, I traveled to Russia with our pastor at that time and another man from the church. And we spent 3 weeks over in Russia. And in that time, you know, now I was planning on going. First, it was an inexpensive trip in a way. For the airfare that we got, it was just a great deal. Of course, it was in the dead of winter. So I can tell you right now, if you like the cold, you go to winter and go to Russia in the wintertime. But we traveled to three major cities, Moscow, Volgograd, and Pskov. And then we went to a lot of little towns, which they'll call them a town, but it's probably 200,000 people in them. But we went every night. We ministered someplace. And our pastor at the time, he had told me, he said, Bob, wherever we go, you are going to get up and you are going to share. Well, that was him doing what he was supposed to do as a pastor. He was pushing me out to the front to allow what God had put into me to come out to be a witness to those people. Good. And it was in every single one of those meetings, even if I only shared and spoke for 5 minutes, that anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit come on me. I never experienced it like that before. To be able to pray with children over there and lay hands on them. There was one service, and I wouldn't even hesitate. Mikolajkovka, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It was a little town on a Wednesday night. We went to their service. They probably had close to 300 people in that service. And the Lord said, I want you to pray for all the children. And so I went to the pastor and I told him that. And we told the translator. And the translator got up there and he told everyone that I was going to pray for all the children. And that room just vacated. The people just disappeared out of there. And they all ran down to go get their kids.
Wow.
And there ended up being about 150 kids lined up at the front of that church for me to pray for them. And that anointing, that presence of God that came in that room, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. It was him doing what he had done to me, he was now doing for those kids. I was getting to be a witness to them, so they could be witnesses. And I'm not sure how long it took me to pray for all of them. And that experience, it just stirred me up to go after Jesus even more. And as I said, as we do this, God promotes us. Why does he promote us? He wants us to continue to witness to the people out there. He wants us to have that same compassion and heart that Jesus had for us. Hallelujah. How's your experience with the anointing?
Wow.
I put you on the spot there. You know, I have seen you minister. I have seen you lay hands on people. I have come to you for prayer, and that anointing has been there.
I think that I'm in a season of life where I am learning to quit hiding behind pastor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hiding behind the adultier adult.
Right.
Because I'm the adult.
Right.
I'm the adult. And so I'm starting to see it. And so I'm learning to just step out. If he says, go lay hands on him, I just go do it. And I trust that he's not going to tell me and not show up.
Yeah.
And it was really neat. Clay Nash, it was earlier this year. I think it was right before like Passover. He had called me out and spoke over me, and he had talked about, and the Lord has had people prophesy over me multiple times about healing. And I don't even think I really told Pastor about it. So that was one of the things that Brother Clay Nash talked about, was that the Lord was going to use me in like healing. In that anointing, and that my hand, I think it would warm up, I think is what he said. And so it's just been, you know, the Lord's been doing it.
Yeah.
Doing it more and more. And so I think sometimes I absolutely believe he can heal anybody. It's like sometimes I'm a little bit of unbelief, or not unbelief, disbelief that it's happening with me there. I'm the ones laying the hands. And so I'm just learning to just be obedient.
Yeah.
Do it. You know, we've talked about like our daycare. You know, when the church got the daycare, you know, sometimes you just think it's a business, great income, yada, yada. Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's blah, okay. Blah. Yeah. I know pastor said, don't say that anymore.
And so on and so on.
And so on and so on. It's a ministry.
Right.
And how many times the Lord has brought somebody across my path, you know, teachers that were sick. We had a dad that, I don't know if he got burnt or what, but he injured his leg. And it was like, it just came up in me. And I said, hey, would you be open to be prayed for? He's like, yeah. So I laid hands on him, prayed over him, real simple prayer. And he'd been on crutches. And I think it was a very short time he was off those crutches. And Mandy and I just kind of looked at each other and we're just like, wow. Yeah. What the Lord did. And it's just being obedient and learning to just, if the Lord even talks to you about somebody at Walmart, you know, that's something the Lord's really had us on evangelism lately. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
And I know I've said this out of my mouth and I think I need to change what I'm saying. I usually would say I'm not an evangelist and that's not something I would think that I walked in. Well, the Lord, I believe, has all called us all to be evangelists.
Right.
It's just different types.
Right.
There are certain kinds like if I could say it right, Hulgard, that's going to get up on a platform. Well, then there's you and I that might talk to somebody at Walmart or at the DMV.
Or even here on this broadcast.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not going to necessarily be the same definition.
Right.
And it's what I'm seeing, and I'm sure it's everybody, that love for the Lord and for people comes up, and you can't be quiet anymore.
Right.
You know, it's getting over yourself.
Well, you know, that takes us back to one scripture. Let's see, that clearly you are an epistle of Christ. It's been written on us.
Yes.
We are an epistle. We are to be read. And that's one of the things that we're doing in this program today.
Yes.
We are sharing ourselves, our experiences. Mm-hmm. But what we're really trying to get over to you is that it is Jesus.
Yes.
It's not Bob. It's not Christina. Mm-hmm. It's not Pastor. It's not that evangelist there. It is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Can I share a scripture?
No, you can't. We don't do that here.
Okay, Bob. It's Romans 10:8. And it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach.
Mm.
And I think the further we go, the more I get it down in me. You know, the word says it. Let's go do it.
Right.
The Lord said, hey, go pray for them. Go do it. That's what the word of faith is. It's not some crazy whatever. It's, okay, the Bible says this. I believe what the Bible says. I'm going to go do it.
Right. Hallelujah.
You know, and that's our testimony. We're just learning to be obedient quicker.
Yeah. You know, you're encouraging me.
Well, good.
And I hope that she is encouraging you today. Hallelujah. Hey, as we get ready to close here, I got a closing scripture that I've got, and it's John 15:16. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Mm-hmm. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. He has called us to go. He has called us to spread the word. And you know what? We end up getting to bear fruit. As we close here, I just want to reach out to anyone that you may have experienced God in your life and from a childhood or as an adult and may have experienced different things, but you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I heard this last night watching a video here at church, and it really made an impression upon me. And I probably won't say it the same way that the speaker did, but God will not change you. He will not fix you. What he's going to do is make sure that you are replaced as a new creature in Christ mm-hmm. Jesus. You get born again. He can't go in and take this person that you are and fix you. He wants to destroy that person and replace you with a new person. And you do that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You go to him and you say, Lord, I need you. I cannot do this on myself. I repent of my sins. I am turning to you and asking you to be my Lord. As you have saved me, direct me, encourage me. And you know what? You will become one of those witnesses. You will begin to witness and to share what Jesus Christ has done in you as your life changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, do you got any closing things to say, Christina?
I was just going to say the Lord had highlighted a scripture. Let me see how much of it I should read. It talks about being buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. You know, symbolically, you know, he was killed, buried, and raised. That's what, that we're in him. That's what happened to us. All that stuff was laid to rest. Yeah. We're a new creatures, new creation. This, you know, the Bible, that's our playbook. That's our, hallelujah, I want to say rule book, but that's our instruction book.
Yeah.
And that's who we are. Look to Jesus. You want to know how to act like Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't like the way you see things in this world, look at the word.
Yes.
Follow the word.
Yes.
And the word will change you, and it will change the world around you. Hey, you know, that's our testimonies that we had for you today. Hey, get in and tell people about Jesus and what he's done for you. And if we can help you and to do that, send us an email at hello@graycitychurch.tv or call us at 870-741-9099. And go into your city and turn it upside down. Bear some fruit. You know how you're going to turn that city upside down? You're going to fill it with fruit. People are going to walk around and be tripping over the fruit that you're producing. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Grace for This City podcast. And until next week, be blessed.